Hi, listeners, and welcome to the David Crit Podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lawton. Today I'm sitting with artist Himali Kushal, who has been collaborating at the David Crit Workshop on a number of monotypes. So today we're going to catch up with Himali, find out a little bit more about her and what she's been up to ahead of an upcoming group show that we're going to be hosting where her works will be on show. So welcome, Himali. It's great to have you with us, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thanks, Britt.
Cool. So I think always a good starting point is to find out a bit more about you as an artist and how you came to be in the arts. So would you mind giving us a quick background check?
My mom insists that I'm an artist because she painted while I was in her womb. She loves telling people that before that she never had the urge to like make art or paint, but then suddenly while she was pregnant with me, she started like taking art classes. So I think I'll give her credits for my career. I have always been drawn to creative outlets. So whether it's like music or art, I think both of those avenues allow me to sort of to be absorbed or to like immerse myself. That's always been the attraction for me. And so I think it was almost an inevitability that I would end up in the arts. Even though I took a detour, initially I did dentistry for 3 years, and I think I always knew in my heart that it wasn't where I would end up eventually. So yeah, going to Witt School of Art was a breath of fresh air. I savored everything like 10 times more because of how much I missed being creative in a very free-form way, which you can't do in a degree like dentistry. And then while I was there, I also did psychology as a second major and French because I was just like, wow, there's so many humanities things that are at my fingertips. Like, so yeah, that was a very, very formative experience for me. After that, I landed a young woman's bursary at Bag Factory, which was, I would say, my first proper studio.
Cool. So now working at Bag Factory, I mean, what's great about that space is that you're surrounded by so many different artists that are working in a variety of mediums. There's established artists, there's young artists such as yourself. How has that contributed to your career as an artist?
I think having a physical space to work in, firstly, allowed me to ground myself in the area that I was working in. So I was able to do a project that was based in and on Fordsburg and the people who live there. Yeah, so it was a very site-specific video that Cherise Dilraj and I, who were co-recipients of the bursary, worked on together. And so yeah, I definitely feel like having a space to store a bunch of things as well that can sort of almost like organically become a work in like as you see the relation between different materials in a space and are allowed to sort of muck around with them and experiment, it becomes easier to make things. I always think of studios as like labs, like that you can like tinker in and like concoct stuff in. So I feel like the Bag Factory was that for me. But in terms of interaction, it was also just really, really lovely to be able to immediately have someone to speak to when you wanted to bounce something off of someone. That's such a undervalued resource, is just like experience from people who've been in the arts longer. Just having collaborators at your fingertips. So it's almost like you get to live in the work. I think that was what Bag Factory felt like.
So just unpacking a few things that you mentioned now. Could you maybe elaborate on how, like, what kind of mediums you work with? I know you're a mixed media artist, or multidisciplinary artist, rather. Could you maybe elaborate on what mediums you prefer, how you work, how it contributes to the concepts behind your practices?
My first love was drawing, because it's, like, the most rudimentary form of, like, making art. And so I think throughout high school and then throughout, like, the initial years of Witt School of Art, drawing was like my favorite thing. And then I started to realize that like every other form of making art is almost an extension of that, whether it's making monotypes or painting or whatever. Everything can almost be approached in a very familiar way. I think that's why working in a multidisciplinary way makes sense to me, is because it's almost like every medium is just a different conduit that may or may not be suitable for whatever you're trying to express. So you just pick according to like what fits the moment or what fits the idea. And I think that this like amoebic way of working allows you to sort of just like flow into what feels natural with an idea. And so that's why I like working across things, from video to printmaking to drawing to painting to installation, which I think ends up encompassing all of the above.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And then with your themes that you're delving into as well, I mean, you look at a lot of, like, I think the archives and personal histories of people.
Yeah, I think my psychology major definitely influences the way that I approach working with people, because I do think of art as almost therapeutic for people in different ways. Even though I get a lot of personal satisfaction and like gratification from like working with my hands and making physical things like monotypes or drawings or whatever, or paintings, I feel like the pull of speaking to people and like learning about people and their stories is equally as strong for me as the pull of like being immersed in making a physical thing. So I think that's where my psych major comes in, is like interacting with people is so central to like understanding how our brains work and how we function in society. And so that'll always be at the core of my practice, whether I'm painting something or making a video. Lived experiences, my own and others, will always be central, because I feel like that's what makes art interesting to people and to the people making it. How do we relate to each other? How do we relate to each other's experiences? And I guess that's the core question that I'm always asking.
Yeah, it's that like kind of storytelling and narratives that come from those exact interactions, like you say. And who are the people that you tend to speak to?
Well, it depends where I am.
Okay, so it's very environment influenced.
Yeah, so, for sure, for sure. Every interaction that I've had sort of ends up entering my art through some direct or indirect way.
But now the most recent collaboration that we want to speak about is actually your collaboration with the David Cook Workshop. So you've recently been there doing monotypes. So I've got printmaker Sarah Judge, who actually works at the David Cook Workshop with us today. So I'm wondering if you guys wanted to talk a little bit more about your experience working in a workshop, your experience working with a print technician.
I think what I found, which was really great working with Hamadi, was number one, that she's really excited to experiment with different things and really open to suggestions and to feedback. Yeah, I think Hamadi, in terms of working with the oil-based monotypes, really did push it. And I don't know from your side what your experience was like.
I've never had the privilege of having so much care and attention surrounding just like my work. Like, I never felt like so spotlighted. That was a new feeling and experience. I mean, it was really lovely to have like the option to ask for feedback as I'm going along, and also to have like other voices contribute to the direction in which prints could go. Having many eyes on one thing sort of allows it to be for people to see different potential, and then that can really push the work beyond where it would otherwise be able to go. So that's what I really liked. I also just really appreciated Sarah's like patience. Yeah, I think the reason I appreciated it is because I'm often impatient with myself. So to have someone be patient on my behalf was really, really lovely.
I mean, you do have experience in printmaking.
Yeah.
But I just wondered if there was maybe like a highlight or something that you hadn't known that you could achieve with print. When you mentioned the words, you could push yourself, what does that mean relating to your printmaking practice?
It's not even an abstract thing. I think tangibly pushing the prints means seeing that you could try a certain technique or a certain shade. Like, for example, I've never worked with, I don't even know what it's called.
But when you,
I hadn't done that before. I hadn't done the sort of overlays of translucent, of more translucent ink. That was new for me. Layering blew my mind. I've never done prints where I layer things.
Multiple things.
And so, what else? I think you would remember my aha moments as well.
I think what was also really great was to see how your prints stemmed from your video work, and how you were able to translate movement from obviously a moving image to a static image, translated really well. Yeah, like you said, working with Tarleton and that being something that also moves in this static image was really beautiful. I don't know if you want to maybe kind of share why you made what you made or...
Yeah, they're loosely based on a video that I made of hands and a little piece of material. Oh, and then also some videos that we made in studio. Mm-hmm. That was cool. of hands and water, submerged in water. The responsiveness and like receptiveness of like the whole team to random impulses or ideas was very high, and that felt really, really conducive to making. I love that, like, if I had a random idea, people would be like, let's make it, like, let's do it right now, let's video your hands in the water in the sink right here in the studio. I think motion and video go together, but then with printmaking and with anything that you're making, motion is involved in making the actual thing. Mm-hmm. So even though the prints themselves feature gestures, they're also created by gestures, which is quite meta. But I like that, like brush strokes or movements with your hand or imprints of your hand can sort of become residues of movement, whereas in video, the way in which movement is translated is entirely different. Mm-hmm. So I feel like different mediums allow the same concept to be explored in completely different ways. I enjoyed the translation of like motion from a video to motion with brush strokes or motion with my handprints.
That's what I wanted to touch on. Having looked at the results from this collaborative project, you've got a lot of very interesting like impressions within the ink that have translated. Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. How did you achieve that? I mean, I know you played around with, I think you mentioned your handprints directly onto the matrix.
I think what it reminds me of is that like I should never underestimate how a simple thing can produce experimental and awesome results. Because like a simple thing like making imprints of your hand, which is something that like toddlers do, can actually add such like richness of texture or like such a like unique visual quality to a print. Yeah, my takeaway from that is that I need to continue to be open to like the smallest or simplest thing having value.
And even just impulses.
Yes, like trusting impulses.
Yeah.
Trusting the process.
And going with that.
And also, I mean, what's really nice is you guys have both mentioned the tarlatan, which is really interesting because on the paper itself, from these prints, like that texture of the tarlatan is really beautiful. I mean, I was immediately drawn to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite interesting to know that was like kind of playful moment that came mm-hmm. up organically. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit more about how and why you decided to use that material?
So I think initially it was this idea of using different fabrics, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Just playing with like the translucency of fabrics and how you can get an imprint of a certain fabric and what those imprints look like. And so Himali bought a bag of fabrics, and which was really lovely to play with. The fabric that we use in our print studio quite often is tarlatan. And so we played with that as well, and it's mm-hmm. quite translucent to a point, I guess. And the pattern is really beautiful.
Something else I wanted to maybe touch on is the color scheme. I mean, you've used a lot of like blues and subtle tones for the imagery. Was there something behind that?
I mean, I just have an affinity for blue because I feel like it can be warm or cool. And I also, it works for water, which I had a lot of in these prints. Mm-hmm. This like fluid, watery texture. So when Sarah suggested it, I was like, you know me well. Yeah, Bluephoria.
And then in terms of, I don't know if you've titled your works.
Yeah, in a very punny way. It's again the thing of like having many, many different eyes on the same piece of work allows people to like, I was given a lot, like windows into how my art is seen, which allowed me to perceive it differently too. So I think that's a rich experience in itself. People see things in your work that you don't see until they mention it, which is special. And I think that became part of the titling too. But I think with my titles, I like to sort of, because I know that even visually, the visuals can be read in so many different ways that I don't want to close that off.
Awesome. No, that's great to hear. And I mean, I'm sure people are going to appreciate seeing these works in person once they go up in the Monotype exhibition. So thanks for joining us. And yeah, we'll catch up with you some more soon.
Cool.